All right, we are holding on the Zion Omer Aleph second line. We're talking about rainfall. So now we're going to have a bunch of agadja on the subject. The Gemara starts off Omer Rabbahu, Godo Yomag Shomim Tchias Amesim, that a day when rain falls is in a way greater than a day of Tchias Amesim. Do you Tchias Amesim? The Tchias HaMesim of Tzadikim, because Tchias HaMesim is only for the Tzadikim, the Ilug Shomim, Bein HaTzadikim, Bein HaRishoyim, whereas rain helps both the Tzadikim and the Rishoyim. We talk about when we say that Tchias HaMesim is only for the Tzadikim, so Rashi over here uses the expression, because Goyish and Rishoyim are not going to come alive by Tchias HaMesim. However, the geus that we have in front of us in Rashi is Rishay Ovdik Echavim. Hagoyis Abach changes that to plain Rishoyim, and then you get into the question, are Jewish Rishoyim actually going to have Tchias HaMesim? There are places in the Gemara where it seems that not, but on the other hand, maybe what it is maybe they'll have Tchias HaMesim in order to have their punishment, or maybe even by that time they'll have already had everything they needed to clean them up, and they'll be able to have a real Tchias HaMesim. Whatever it is, the point is that the rain is indiscriminate. It helps everybody at the same time, and therefore, in a way, it's greater than Tchias HaMesim. Opligah de Rabbi Yosef. Now, this that Rabbi Bohu is saying it's greater than Tchias HaMesim, or rather, Rabbi Bohu says it's like, yeah, Rabbi Bohu says it's greater than Tchias HaMesim. Opligah de Rabbi Yosef. That disagrees with Rabbi Yosef's view of the matter. Good morning, Ali. Rabbi Yosef says, no, it's not that a day of rain is greater than Tchias HaMesim, it's equal in greatness to Tchias HaMesim, and because of that, which is why the Chachamim said that we say Mashiv Ruach Merid Hageshem in the Bracha Mechay HaMesim, because they're of equal greatness. So Rabbi Bohu is saying that rain is greater than Tchias HaMesim, and Rabbi Yosef is saying it's not greater, but it's equal in importance as far as the good that it brings to the world. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Godo Yomag Shomim Kiyem Shenitna by Torah. Also, a day of rain is as great as the day when the Torah was given. The point of all of this is, by the way, that it means, in other words, so on a day of rain, now later on we'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that there are, on the other hand, you know, rain sometimes causes hassles to people and whatever, but on the other hand, we should realize that a day of rain is a day of bracha, as we're saying over here, and therefore it's an eis ratzon, it's a good time to dab into Hashem for other things, because once we see that Hashem is showering goodness on the world, then it's time to realize that it's also a time that we can be asking Hashem for, that we can be acknowledging Hashem for the other good things that he does and asking him to continue giving them to us. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Godo Yemak Shom Kiyem Shenitna by Torah, that a day of rain is as great as the day that the Torah was given. Shenema Yares Kamoto Litchi, Moshe Rabbeinu says in Hazinu, my teaching should drip like the rain. Yares means to drip. Ve'en lekach ala Torah. The word lekach here specifically means Torah. Shenema ki lekach tov nasati lachem torasi al tazovu. The pasuk says, I've given you a good lekach, a good teaching, so don't abandon my Torah. So in other words, the point is, again, just like the Torah brings so much good for the world, the same way rain brings so much good for the world. Rava says that a day of rain is actually in a way greater than the day that the Torah was given. In the sense that the Torah is benefits your neshama, and the rain benefits not only the neshama, but also the body, Marsha says. So how do we see from the pasuk that it's greater? Again, the same pasuk says, my teaching of Torah should drip like the rain. Now that means, in other words, so what are we saying? We're comparing the Torah to rain. Me nitla b'mi. Now when we're comparing one thing to another, what do we compare to what? Have ever cut nitla b'gado? We compare the lesser thing to the greater thing. So if Moshe is saying, my teaching of Torah should drip like the rain, means, in other words, that rain is a greater thing, and I'm telling you that the Torah is almost as great as that. So therefore we see, Rava says, that rain is greater than the day that the Torah was given. In this connection, the Gemara says, Rava Rami. Now Rava pointed out a contradiction in the pasuk. Ksiv Yareth Kamotav Litchi, that pasuk begins saying that my teaching of Torah should drip like the rain. Ochtiv Tiza Okatal Imrasi, and then Moshe continues that it should flow like the dew. So what is it? So is the Torah like rain or like dew? Now, of course, you know, there's many, many, many points on that. There's different levels of the, there's different levels of Torah. The mimer from Lakuta Torah that we mentioned the other day, in connection with rain and Isirusa de la'ela and so forth, and then Shova is that there's a different rain is Isirusa de la'sata, Redu is Isirusa de la'ela. But why are we comparing it dafka to those two things? And why are we using the expression yarif? Which, fine, yarif means to drip, but it's a bit of an unusual expression. So Rava says it depends. It's also hinting at two different kinds of Talmud Chacham. Im Talmud Chacham Hogun Hu, if he's a Talmud Chacham who's erlich, who acts the way he should act, Katal, then he's like the dew, which is something that you always want, and the dew falls gently. You always want to go and learn Torah from him. The im lav, and if not, ofehu kamater, then ofehu like the rain. Now, what does ofehu mean? Rashi says hogehu, which literally means kill him. In other words, since he's not erla, since he's not what a Talmud Chacham should be, then in other words, he doesn't deserve to be there, and therefore kill him. The word hogehu can also mean a passive. It can mean it kills him. The Torah kills him, in other words, because he doesn't learn it lishma, and as we're going to say later on, it becomes a samamavis for him. On the other hand, Marsha points out later on, a few further down on the Amud, we have something about that, where the Gemara brings a pasuk to show that the word ofehu means to kill, but here the Gemara is not bringing it. Therefore, Marsha says, here we're not talking about that. Here we just mean ofehu, meloshen oref, meaning to turn the back of your neck and the back of your body to him. In other words, so if he's not a Talmud Chacham Hogun, if he's a Talmud Chacham, but he's not acting the way that a Yid should be acting, the way that a Talmud Chacham should be acting, ofehu, then Marashah says, means turn your back to him, don't learn Torah from such a person. Which is kamoter, which is like the rain, because later on in Daf Ches, we're going to talk about that rain is not always something that we want. Sometimes rain is a hassle and so forth. Unlike the dew, which we learned the other day when we talked about Knesset Yisrael asked that Hashem should be for us like the rain, and instead Hashem said, I'll be like the dew because rain is not always desirable, whereas dew is. So here it's the same thing. If it's Talmud Chacham Hogun, you always want to learn Torah from him. If not, then you don't want to. Okay, some more on this topic about the different ways that a person could be learning Torah. Tanya, hoya Rabbanah used to say, kola osik b'Torah lishma, when a person learns Torah lishma, because Hashem said to learn it, not because, for example, he wants to be called Rebbe or get other kinds of honor, Torah nasas like samchayim, then his Torah becomes for him an elixir of life, a life-giving medicine. As the Pasuk says, the Torah is a tree of life for those who hold on to it. So those who hold on to it, in other words, implies the ones who are holding on to it for its own sake, not because they're looking for the advantages they can get from it. But Omer, another Pasuk says, Rifus tehila sharecha, the Torah will be a healing for your navel. The navel is the center of the body, and it's where the baby first is formed from. So where it gets its nourishment in the womb. So therefore, it represents, in other words, the person's entire body. So the Torah is the healing for the body. But Omer ki moti matzah chayim, and another pasuk also in Mishlei expresses it by saying that the one who finds me, this is like the Torah personified speaking, the one who finds me has found life. But, continues Rabbanah, v'chola osik b'Torah shalo lishma, but a person who studies Torah not lishma, nasas lo, sama mavis, then it becomes samamavis, it becomes a poison for him. Shenema, because the pasuk we just quoted said, yarif kamoto litchi, where the word yarif, besides the simple meaning that it means to drip, also means ve'in arifa ela hariga. The word arifa refers to killing. Shenema va'orfusam shamasa egla banachal, like you have by the egla arufa. So we see, in other words, that the Torah has a deadly side to it as well, and that would be if a person is learning it shalo lishma. Now, Tosfos over here, and in other places in Shas, says, what about we say that la'olam yatzik adam haTorah even shalo lishma, and mitoch shalo lishma bo lishma, and here we're saying that it's not good to do it, and it's a samamavis, and it's a poison for him. So Tosfos over here, and in several other places in Shas, explains that there are two different kinds of shalo lishmas. You have the kind of shalo lishma that we're talking about in, for example, there, where it says, la'olam yatzik adam haTorah shalo lishma, is, for example, so Rashi had said over here that Shaloi Lishma over here means that he wants to be called Rebbe, for example. He wants to get the title. Tosfos says no. Over here, what it means is that he's learning Torah lakanter. He's doing it in order to be argumentative, in order to be able to use it to argue against people and to be able to take advantage of them with things that he knows from Torah and so forth. That's the kind of thing we're describing over here that becomes a samamavis for him. Whereas the other places where it says that he should be osik shalom lishma, and eventually from that he'll come to lishma, means, for example, he's learning shalom lishma, for example, because he wants to be honored. So it's not the best motivation to learn Torah, but it's not samamavis either. And from it, he'll come to lishma. In various places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea that I think there's a verse from the Baal Shem Tov that says that mitoich shaloi lishma, meaning within, literally mitoich means within. Within there's lo shaloi lishma. Within that there is a concealed lishma, because ultimately a yid wants to come close to Hashem, and therefore therefore even if right now consciously he's learning Torah for improper reasons, but subconsciously he's doing it in order to come close to Hashem. And in fact, the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya that eventually when the person is going to relearn, eventually the person will relearn this same point in Torah, that before he learned Shalom Lishma, eventually he'll learn it Lishma, maybe in this Gilgul, maybe not even until the next Gilgul, etc., but eventually he will, and that Torah will then be elevated and become Lishma and go up to where it's supposed to go up to in the Olam HaSelyon. So in that sense, in other words, so he should learn even Shaloi Lishma, because eventually from that Torah that he learned Shaloi Lishma is eventually able to be elevated and become Lishma. Okay, going on in the Gemara with this topic about learning Torah and about the proper motivations for it and how a person should behave when he's learning Torah, etc. So the Gemara says, Omelet of Yimiel of Zera, Lacey Meyer Listen. So Rabbi Yirmiya one time asked Rabbi Zeira, Rebbe, come teach Torah. Omalei, so Rabbi Zeira says, Cholash liboy, I'm feeling weak. V'lo yachilna. I'm not able to. Teaching Torah takes a lot out of a person. So he says, so Rabbi Yirmiya says, Lema ma milsa da gadja. Okay, then Rebbe, at least say something about gadja, which is easier. You don't have to fatif sichin in as much, so that'll be easier on you. Omalei, so Rabbi Zeira says, okay. Hachi omer Rabbi Yechanan, and I'll tell you what Rabbi Yechanan said. My dichtiv, what does the pasuk mean? It says, man is a tree of the field. What do you mean? Is that the case? Who is a person a tree? Now, in context of the pasuk, in fact, Rashi explains on the pasuk that the pasuk is saying it as a rhetorical question. That the Torah is saying, is a tree like a person that's able to, that like this, you're besieging a city, the pasuk says don't chop down the fruit trees, because is a tree a person? A person would be able to go into the city and be safe, but the tree can't, so therefore leave it alone. But nevertheless, the question is that in that case it should say, ki eitza sada adam. In other words, then the question should have been, the pasuk should have said the other way around. Is a tree like a person? Instead, when it says, ki ha'odam eitz ha'sada, then it means, in a certain sense, man is like a tree of the field. It's a factual statement. So what does that mean? Ela, mishum dechdiv. Now, like this, you have the earlier in that same pasuk, it says, ki menu seichel v'oysa lo sichos. It says, you eat from such a tree, therefore you shouldn't chop it down. But then the next pasuk says, "Oisei sashchis v'charata." The next pasuk says that there's a kind of tree that you could destroy and chop down. Now, of course, in chapter of the pasuk, it means that you have there's a fruit-bearing tree and there's a non-fruit-bearing tree. The fruit-bearing one you're not allowed to chop down, and the non-fruit-bearing tree, go ahead and chop it down and use it for raw material. So what does all this mean in terms of if we're saying ki ha'adam et asada ha ketzad? So what does this mean? Again, if he's a Tamad Chacham who is Erlich, he's acting the way that he should, then by all means, you should eat from him, you should learn Torah from him, don't cut him off. If not, if he's not a Tamad Chacham Hagun, then don't learn from him, destroy him, and cut him down, which means, like we said before, it's a Samamavis for him, and it also means, Tosfos says, it means don't learn by him. Cut him off and don't learn Torah from him. Similar to what we said before about Yarif Kamata Litri. Or similar to what Maharsha had explained in the Gemara before about Yarif Kamata Litri. So it depends whether he's acting the way that a person should act or not. Tosfos points out, what about, we have, for example, that Dirda Meir learned from Acher, who was definitely not Hogun. So Tosfos says that means a Talmid Chacham of the caliber of Reb Meir could do that because he's not going to learn from Acher's bad ways. But anybody else shouldn't learn from such a person because you're likely to learn from his bad ways as well. There is a good deal of discussion nowadays since has happened in our times. For example, there have been various prominent or semi-prominent Talmid Chachamim who were caught doing very, very unethical or worse things, very unethical or immoral things, and there becomes the question, are you allowed to learn any of their Torah anymore based on what we're saying in the Gemara over here? So one distinction they make is maybe there's a difference between Sfarim or things that they wrote before that versus after that. Maybe there's a difference between maybe learning from those Sfarim in and of itself is not so bad because you're not learning directly from them and there's less of a reason that you're going to be learning from their bad ways. But there is a good deal of discussion on that point based on this Gemara and other similar Gemaras in other places. There's a couple of sichas, by the way, where the Rebbe addresses this point of Kiyah Adam Eitz Asada, one in Chelek, among others, one in Chelek Dalad, one in Chelek Chaf Dalad, where the Rebbe develops the idea that in what sense are we comparing a person to a tree? A person has within them everything. A person is an Olam Katan. They have the Doimim aspect, a Tzemeach aspect, the Chai aspect. So the Tzemeach aspect in particular refers to a person's Midos, and the reason why a person is compared to a tree, Dafka, rather than any other kind of thing that grows from the ground, the tree is not only connected to the ground, which is a source of life, but it also lasts from year to year, unlike other kinds of things that grow from the ground. So it represents, in other words, that a person has to feel that connection to Hashem, their source of life, and continue to grow year after year in their midas and keep on developing their midas for the better. And that's what we're saying, in other words, that he has to be a Talmid Chacham Hogun, he has to have good midas. And then in Chelek Dalad, the Rebbe also develops the idea over there that it means that his moichin have to affect his midas and cause his midas to grow, and the Rebbe also connects it with, we're going to have further down on the Yomud, Yachutza minus Secha Chutza, that's also related to the idea of that you have to be teaching and spreading Pnimiyas HaTorah, and that way it becomes your own personal Mayan, it becomes your own wellspring, which is constantly welling forth new understandings of Torah and new ways of connecting to Hashem. Onward, more about teaching Torah, more about learning and teaching Torah. Amar Rav Chama, Amar Rav Chanina, or Amar Rav Chama Bir Rabbi Chanina, it's supposed to be really. My dichtiv, what does it mean? A pasuk barzel b'barzel yachad, iron against iron. The pasuk continues, v'ish yachad pnei re'ehu, one for the same way as a person together with his friend's face. So what does that mean? Loi malach, ma barzel ze echad b'chadim eshaveroi. Iron, one piece of iron sharpens the other. For example, you take one knife and sharpen it by rubbing it against another one. The same way, two Talmid Chachamim sharpen one another in halacha when they're learning together and they're asking and answering and then that way clarifying what they're saying, then it's like iron sharpening iron. Which Marsha points out, the relevance of this to what we were saying before, is that we were saying before that Tosfos said, you're not allowed to learn Torah Lakanter in order to be argumentative. Don't think that this kind of thing, where two Talmid Chachamim are learning Torah together and they're arguing one against the other, and Zev Boner v'Zev Soser and so forth, don't think that's learning Lakanter. No, that's learning Torah the proper way, where they're sharpening each other. Lakanter would be where you're doing a taka in order to make yourself greater and put down the other person or whatever, whereas here we're talking about not. They really are learning L'Shem Shemayim, and they are working to sharpen each other and clarify what the other one is saying. Further in this connection, Amar Rabbi Baba Chana, Lama Nimshalu Divrei Torah Ka'esh, why are words of Torah compared to fire? Shenemar, and we see that because the pasuk says, Loi Koi Dvori Ka'esh Nu Hashem. Hashem says, aren't my words like fire? So Loi Malach, Ma Esh, Ein Edelik Yichidi, just like fire won't burn when you have one thing by itself burning. You have, let's say, for example, you take one piece of wood, it's not going to burn well by itself. You need a few pieces together. Ach Divrei Torah Ein Meskaimin Yichidi. The same way, Divrei Torah don't last by somebody who learns them by himself. You have to learn together with a chaver, who again helps sharpen you with questions and comments and answers. This also fits with what Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said. My dichtiv chereb el abanim minoyalu. What a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says a sword against the badim and they will be foolish. So in the simple meaning of the pasuk, the badim means the this is part of a nevuah against Babel. So badim means the various astrologers and magicians and whatever who are trying to predict a good future for Babel. And the Navi is telling no, and the Navi is saying no, there's going to be a sword against them and they're going to be shown to be foolish that all of their predictions are wrong. But we're doubting cherev al sinein shel talmid chachamim, a sword against the enemies of the talmid chachamim, which of course is a euphemism for the talmid chachamim themselves. Sheoskin bad bevad b'torah, that they sit and learn torah bad, but meaning alone. The word bad, one of the meanings of bad, is alone. For example, we have the Gemara in Yuma that mentions that linen is called bad because it grows in individual stalks. So when a person learns, a Talmud Chacham learns Torah alone rather than with somebody else, obviously we're talking about when there is somebody else available, then a sword goes against him. Not only that, they end up being foolish because what happens? He ends up coming to wrong conclusions in Torah and there's nobody to correct what he's saying. Shenema v'noyalu, because that same passage continues v'noyalu, which means they become foolish, a meloshin evil. V'loy oid ela shechotim. Not only that, they end up doing averus. Again, what would be the reason? Because they end up understanding the Torah wrongly, therefore they end up deciding the halacha wrongly for themselves or for other people, and therefore the result is that they and they're doing and they're causing people to do averus. And how do we know, where do we see that v'noyalu has anything to do with averus? K'siv hocha v'noyalu, uchtiv asem asher ne'alnu v'asher chotonu. When Miriam gets taras, then Aaron pleads on her behalf, and he says, please don't hold it against us, asher ne'alnu, that we were foolish, v'asher chotonu, and that we sinned. So we see that foolishness is related to sinning. It's related to chet. V'noyalu sarit zayan v'gema v'hisu es mitzrayim. Another way you can learn it, is you have a pasuk in Yeshaya that a nevuah against Mitzrayim, how Mitzrayim is going to be defeated and destroyed, and the pasuk uses the expression the noblemen of Mitzrayim, sorry Tzoyan, the noblemen of Tzoyan, which was the capital of Mitzrayim, noyalu, are foolish, and the pasuk continues hisuas Mitzrayim, they misled Mitzrayim. So misleading is, what a person does averus, is because they've been misled. They misled themselves, or they misled others in the wrong direction. So you see, therefore, again, that noyalu is related to doing wrong. So therefore, and all of that comes as a result of El Abadim, where Talmud Chacham is learning Torah by himself, rather than having a chavrusa, and rather than having somebody else to critique what he's saying, and clarify it. Further, Amar of Nachmi, Lama Nimshalu Divrei Torah Ke'etz, why are words of Torah compared to wood? It's a tree of life, and the word eight in the word eight in Lashon Kodesh means both tree and wood. So it's wood of life for those who uphold it. So why wood? Just like a smaller piece of wood ignites the bigger one. When you're making a bonfire, you don't first start putting the big logs. You don't first start lighting the big logs. They don't catch. You start with the little tiny pieces of tinder, and then those cause the big ones to catch. The same way, when it comes to Talmid Chachamim, the lesser ones sharpen the greater ones and help them be able to learn Torah better. Because they're always, Rashi says, because they're always asking questions, and therefore that helps clarify matters. This goes with what Rav Chanina says. I learned a lot of Torah from my Rebbeim. I learned from my chaverim more than I did from my rabbeim, because again we sat and learned Torah together and we sharpened each other with discussion. And I learned most of all from my talmidim, again because they asked good questions and that forced me to clarify what I'm saying. In fact, one of the Mephoshim on Ein Yaakov says, I think the Ein Elyo says, this is why we had three comparisons in the previous piece of Gemara, to iron, to fire, and to wood. Each of them represents a different way of, each one represents a different way where a person gains knowledge of Torah. By learning from his Rebbeim,
by discussing with his chaverim and discussing back and forth and clarifying the matter, and by teaching it, we're then the teaching it itself. He has to prepare it, and he has to he's asked questions by the talmidim, which he has to be prepared for, and so forth, and that helps sharpen him most of all. Further on this, getting back to what kind of person should you learn Torah from, Rav Chanina bar Papa Rami. Rav Chanina bar Papa pointed out a contradiction between Psukim. Ksiv likras tzomei heisoyumayim. One pasuk says, bring water to the thirsty person, implying that you see a thirsty person, you should bring him water. Uchtiv hoikot tzomei lecholamayim. Another pasuk says, on the other hand, everyone who's thirsty, go to the water, implying you should go find the water. So what is it? Do we bring the water to the thirsty person, or does he have to go himself to get it? So it depends. Im Talmud Hogunhu, here now we're going to focus on the Talmud. Before we were focusing on the Rebbe, whether he's Hogun or not, whether you should learn Torah from him or not. Now let's focus on the Talmud. If the Talmud is Hogun, if he's Erlich and acting the way a Yid should act, so if he is, likrach tzameh hei soyumoyim, then he's thirsty, bring him the water of Torah, in other words, you, the Rebbe, go out and find him and teach him Torah. V'imlav, v'iloy, but if not, if he's not hogun, kol tzameh l'chulamayim, then anyone who's thirsty, come to the water, but in other words, you don't go and teach him. So you don't go teach him. If he wants to learn Torah, he has to come to the Rav. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that if he comes, you do have a different Gemara in Chulin that talks about that if you have a Talmud Hogun, you're not even supposed to teach him Torah. The Rambam phrases it that what you do is first you help him do Tshuva, and then he can learn Torah by you. So here it's the same kind of thing. You see that he's not Hogun, then in that case, he's going to have to come to you, showing that he's ready to be Hogun, that he's ready to do Tshuva, and be what a Yid should, and then you'll be able to teach him Torah. Similarly, Rav Chanina Bachama Rami, Rav Chanina Bachama pointed out a contradiction between some psukim in Mishlei. Ksiv yafutsu minasecha chutza. One pasuk there says your wellsprings should flow outward, again implying that you should be going and teaching and then sending out the wellsprings of Torah to everybody else. Uchtiv, and then another pasuk says, the next pasuk says, yiu l'chol avadecha. They should be for you yourself. In other words, you should keep them to yourself. The Ein Lo Zorim Itach, the pasuk continues, no strangers should be together with you in it. So what is it? So again, Im Talmud Hogunhu, again, if the Talmud is good, if he's Erlach, your futsu minus secha chutza, then your wellsprings should flow out to teach him. The Im Lav, you l'chol avadecha, if not, then you keep it for yourself and don't teach it. Marsha says, particularly, we're talking about over here, this Yafutsu minus secha chutza specifically refers to Soda Satorda, Pnimiya Satorda, which is the sense in which we use it all over the place in Chassidus, that Yafutsu minus secha chutza, about spreading the wellsprings of Chassidus. So we're talking about, in other words, again, you might be teaching the Talmud Hogun regular parts of Torah to Nigla. By all means, we said before, fine, you maybe don't go to him, but he can come to you and learn, but at least hold off on teaching him Sistra Torah, Pnimiya Satorah, until he's ready for it, until he's going to use it properly, rather than if he's not Hogun, he's going to end up using them improperly, or so, or understanding them improperly, or something. Why are words of Torah compared to water? We just said everyone who's thirsty go to the water, and the water and the thirsty over here means thirsty for Torah. So the water is the water of Torah. Loi malach, it comes to tell you, ma mayim manichin makam gavoya v'hochin l'makam namuch. Just like water flows away from the high places and flows down to the low places. Ah, divrei Torah, and miskaimen, elav misha daikesh shfala. The same way, divrei Torah only lasts by somebody who is humble. Somebody who is a baal gaiva is not going to retain his Torah. Tosfos mentions in this connection, by the way, first of all, Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Eruvin that says the same thing, that you won't, loiva shamayim hi, means that you won't find the Torah with somebody who holds himself high like the heavens, but then Tosfos also goes on to mention another point that the Gemara mentions there in Eruvin, that you also won't find real knowledge of Torah by socherim, by merchants that go and travel all the time because they're traveling. They're not able to learn Torah on a, they're not able to learn Torah on a high level. And also Tosfos brings from a medrash that says you also won't find it among the stargazers because they're busy with their stargazing and their science and whatever, and they don't have time to learn Torah properly. So Tosfos brings from medrash where they once asked Shmuel, what about you? You're such an expert in, astronomy as we find in various places in Shas. So how did you become what you became? And he answers them that I never took off time that I could have used for learning Torah to learn astronomy and other such things. What it is when I was in the bathroom, and I can't learn Torah in there anyway, that's when I was learning these books of astronomy. You have similar things that talks about various other prominent people that they learned certain things while they were in the bathroom or other. I think for example it says someplace about the Rebbe that he learned a couple of foreign languages while he was in the bathroom or whatever, rather than so like this, at least they're putting that time to good use, but they're not wasting time outside of there that they could have been learning, that they could have been using for learning Torah. Onward. The Amr of Oshia, Lama Nimshal Udive Torah, the Shloisha Mashkin Halalah, the Mayim of Yayin of Acholav. Why is Torah also compared to three liquids, in fact, not just water, but also wine and milk? Yechtev Hoy called some of the Cholamayim. We have the same pasuk that says that everyone who's thirsty should go to the water. And the pasuk then continues, the next pasuk continues, L'chu shivru ve'echolu, go buy and you'll be able to eat. U'l'chu shivru b'le kesef, and go buy without having to pay money, because you don't have to pay money for learning Torah. B'le kesef or b'le mechir, without money and without anything else that you'll have to give in exchange, you'll be able to get yayin v'cholav, wine and milk. So Torah is compared to three different liquids. Why? Loy malach. Just like these three liquids only last when you put them in cheap containers, for example, earthenware containers, the same way Torah only lasts, words of Torah only last in somebody who's humble. So in other words, a person who's proud of himself, then it's like, as the Gemara is going to go on now and say, it's like a metal container which causes these liquids to spoil. Maharsha points out the reason why we're using a different metaphor before we said that it's Yodin, Mimakam Gavoya, is because over there we're talking about water which flows naturally from one place to another. But wine and milk, you're not going to spill and watch them go from one place to a lower place. Therefore, instead, we use a metaphor involving putting them in a container. But even then, you have to put them in a container that preserves them, namely a cheap earthenware container. And in fact, the Gemara says, "Kid Omrulay Brati the Kaiser Little Yeshua ben Chananya." As we have the example of the daughter of the Kaiser, the daughter of the emperor, says to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was not a handsome person. So she says to him, "E, woe, chachma mufuara v'chli mechor, such beautiful chachma." She knew because Rabbi Yeshua would go all the time to talk with the Kaiser and show him the chachma of Torah. So she's saying, "Woe, that such beautiful chachma has to be v'chli mechor in an ugly vessel because you're not very handsome." So he answers her by way of metaphor. Avich Rami Chamra b'moni defachra. Does your father keep his wine in earthenware containers? Omrelay. So she says, yeah, of course. Ve'elam v'ayniume. Yeah, of course. What other kind of containers would you think he should put it in? Omrelay. So he says to her, Atun dechashvitu. Listen, you guys, the emperor's household, you're so important. Rami b'moni dava v'chaspa. You should instead be putting your wine in silver and gold vessels. So she went and told her father, and her father liked the idea. So he put the wine into gold and silver barrels, the tacket, and it ended up getting sour because the metal reacts with the wine. Also, so they went and told the emperor that all the wine spoiled. So he says to his daughter, who gave you such an idea to put them in these containers where they're going to spoil? She tells him, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya told me. Karyuhu, they called him in. Omrele, and he says, Amai Amrit Lahafi, why did you tell her such a thing? He calls all my wine to spoil. Amalei, so Rabbi Yishur tells him, Kihechi de Amri Li, Amri La. The same kind of thing she told me. She told me that it's a pity that you have such a beautiful chokhmah of mine in an ugly keli, because I'm not a handsome person. Well, I told her the same way. I was telling her that the same way. Wine is preserved best in earthenware vessels. In other words, it's not my fault that she took me literally and figured that we should put the wine in different vessels. She should have been smart enough to realize that it means, in other words, the same way that we should keep the wine in the earthenware vessels, in the same way the wine and the same way the beauty of Torah will be best preserved in someone like me. So the emperor asked him, "Bohika shvili degmiri." What do you mean, though? The fact is, not everybody who learns Torah is ugly. You have some very handsome people who know a lot of Torah. And Rabbi Yishua answers him, "Fine, but ihavu sonu. But if those people were not so attractive, tfei havu gmiri, then they would learn more Torah. Because like this, when a person is handsome, then it's more difficult for him to be an onav, to be humble, and therefore that's more likely, as we said before, that his gaiva is going to cause him to forget the Torah. Although Tosfos says that Amar Aleph doesn't mean necessarily that he has to be physically ugly. It just means he doesn't care about that handsomeness. He doesn't take it to mind. He doesn't take it to heart that he's handsome. B'chlal, he completely ignores and overlooks that. That's also included in the words ihavu sonu. And the fact is, if we look, among the people that we have pictures of, you find some Talmid Chachamim who were very handsome, who had real hadras upon him, and then you had other ones who were not at all handsome. But the point is, in other words, even the handsome ones, they knew not that's not their primary thing to worry about their appearance. So therefore, so that they could still be great Talmid Chachamim. Dabarach, the Gemara says, another explanation of why we're comparing Torah to these various liquids, wine and milk, and water, wine and milk. Mash, Shloisha, Mashkin, Alolo, Ein Nifsalon, Ela, Behesach, Adas. These three liquids become possible, they become undrinkable if you're distracted from them, meaning if you don't watch them carefully. So either they're going to spill, or something disgusting will fall into them and you won't be able to drink them. Meaning, Rashi says, as opposed to, let's say, oil and honey are thicker, so if something falls into them, it'll float to the top and you'll be able to take it out. As opposed to if, let's say, you have a barrel of water or a barrel of wine or what have you, and something falls into it, it's a thin liquid. It's a thin liquid, so it's going to sink all the way to the bottom, and therefore all of it is going to be contaminated. So the active Torah and the shakan el behesach adas, the same way. When is Torah forgotten? If a person is distracted and doesn't constantly review it. You also have, in fact, these three liquids, wine, milk, and water are the particular ones. In particular, Hesach Hadas is also, those are the ones that become also to drink if you leave them uncovered, because a snake might drink from them. So that also fits with what we're saying in the Gemara, that those more than any other liquids are susceptible to contamination if you don't keep an eye on them. And the same way, Torah, if you don't keep an eye on it and review it, then you're going to forget it. Okay, now that we talked at some length about learning Torah, but we digressed from the main topic, which was talking about rain. So we digressed to talk about Torah, and compared to rain. So now we're going to go back to rain, about the greatness of a day when it rains. A day that it rains is as great as the day when Hashem created heaven and earth. Shenema. Pasuk in Yeshaya, harifu shamayim mimal, heavens from above drip rain. Well, again, harifu was like the word yarif kamoto that we had on the previous amud. Ushchokim yizlu tzedek, let the heavens, which is shchokim is a name for another one of the heavens. We're going to learn in Chagiga in a couple of months. That's the Shem, that there are seven heavens and one of them is called shchokim. So let the shchokim flow with tzedek, which with rain that Hashem gives as tzedakah. Tiftach eretz v'yifu yasha. Let the ground open up, and yesha and salvation will grow. Utzdakah tatzmiyah will multiply. Utzdakah tatzmiyah yachad, and tzedakah will grow altogether. Ani Hashem v'rotiv, and the pasuk finishes off. I Hashem created it. Now, if it meant that Hashem is mainly focusing on the heavens and earth that he created, brosim loynema, but then it would say brosim in the plural, meaning that he's referring to the heavens and the earth that he created. Instead, it says, ela brosiv, instead it says, I created it, meaning that Hashem is saying that I created the heavens. So in other words, Hashem is, so to speak, boasting of the fact that he created rain, and and therefore that rain is as great as the day when Hashem created heaven and earth. In fact, Hagoyis HaBach brings a Girsa, not Kiyoyim, but even Miyoyim, that's even greater than the day that Hashem created heaven and earth, because we see that Hashem is speaking, that Hashem is, so to speak, praising himself for creating rain rather than even focusing on the heavens and the earth. And Marshall also points out, the part is, we're using the word berosi regarding rain, which is the same shoresh, berosh is bora elakim, it's a shmaim es aref, so we see that a day of rain, that it's as if Hashem like recreated the world on that day. So therefore, that shows that it's as great, or again, according to Hagoyis HaBach's second girsa, maybe even greater than the day that heaven and earth were created. And the reason for that is, by the way, one reason is because, again, creating heaven and earth means Hashem set up Teva. Rain, in a way, is higher than Teva. That's what we were saying on Amud Aleph, for example, that Hashem gives rain for the Tzaddikim and the Rishoyim. In that sense, it goes against the way that Hashem set up that the world should work, because by right, only the Tzaddikim should be rewarded, and therefore, in a way, it's greater than or as great as when Hashem created heaven and earth and set these laws of nature in motion in the first place. Next, Amar Rav Oshia, Godo Yom HaGashamim, Shafilu Yeshua Parav Rav Aboy. A day of rain is so great that even saving of Hashem grows and then multiplies on that day. Which means, in other words, Rashi says, it's an Esiratzin, so therefore Malachim, who are Melech Yosher for the Jewish people, come and appear before Hashem on such a day and remind Hashem about the Schosim of the Jewish people so that they can be saved. And we see that Shenema Tiftach Eretz V'Yifur Yesha. We just said the pasuk about rain that mentions let the earth open up and Yesha and salvation will grow. So we see, that, in other words, that a day of rain is a day when Hashem's saving of people individually and collectively grows and multiplies on that day. It's an Eserup, in other words. Amar Rav Tanchum Bachaniloi Einag Shamim Yodim Elim Ken Nimchalu Avnesein Shal Yisrael. Rain only falls only if when you see that rain falls, it means that the averus of the Jewish people have been forgiven. Shenema, pasuk in Tehillim, Rotzisa Hashem Artzecha, Hashem, you desired your land, meaning you favored it by giving rain. Shavta Shvis Yaakov, you've returned the captivity of Yaakov. And the next pasuk continues, Nasasa Avoyna Mecha, you've forgiven the averus of your people. Kisisa Kochatal Samstela, you've hidden away their averus forever. So therefore, so we see that there's a relationship between Rotzisa Hashem Artzecha, between Hashem showing favor to the land by bringing rain which Marshall explains in turn that we know that Rotzisa means to give the earth what it wants, namely rain. We talked about yesterday that rain is like the husband of the earth. You have other psukim that express the idea that the earth wants rain. So therefore, so Rotzisa Hashem Atzecha means Hashem, you gave the land what it desired, namely rain. And we see the pasuk is associating that with Nasasa Avin Amecha Kisisa Kochatasa. Amalei Ze'iri mi Dihavas Ravina. So Ze'iri from Dihavas says to Ravina, Rashi actually says it should really be Marzi'iri, Midiyavas. Anyway, he says to Ravina, Atun Mehochamas Nisula. Now you, Chachamim, are learning that from this source, from that Pasuk in Tehillim. Anan Mehochamas Nisula. We, where I come from, the Pashas, it was Meretz Yisrael, or wherever Diyavas is. So we, in our area, learn it from a different Pasuk. It's Shlomo HaMelech's Tefillah by the Chanukah Sabayis. He says, Va'ata Tishma Hashamayim, when there's a drought, and the Jewish people come and daven for rain, you should hear from the heaven, the salach to lachata sugema, you should forgive the averus of the Jewish people, and the pasuk continues, v'nasata matar alazachan, and you'll give rain on your land. So we see, in other words, that there's an association between Hashem forgiving the people, their averus, and sending rain. Now, let's talk about what causes the rain to stop in the first place. Amar of Tanchum Breda Rechia, Ishpar Akoi, rain only stops only when the enemies of the Jewish people, again, the same euphemism meaning the Jewish people themselves, deserve to be destroyed. Shenemar, the pasuk says, the tzia, the dryness, and the choim, the heat, steal the snow waters. In other words, you have normally during the winter time, there should be rain and there should be snow. But when you see that the heat when you see that the dryness and the heat are stealing that away, it's because sha'ol chato, because they did averis that make them deserving to go into sha'ol, which is Gehenna. So you see, in other words, that there's an association between when there's no rain and the fact that they deserve to be destroyed. Again, omole ze'iri mi diavas le Ravina. So again, ze'iri from diavas says to Ravina, after mehocha mas nisula, you're learning that from that pasuk in Iyov, in Ksuvim. Anan mehocha mas nisula, we, where I come from, we have a way of learning that from Chumash. The pasuk says, and we say every day in Krishma, v'otzer es ha-shamayim, Hashem will stop up the heavens and there won't be rain, and then it continues, va'avatam nehera, and you'll quickly be lost and destroyed from the land. So we see, in other words, that there's an association between not having rain and va'avatam, implying, in other words, what causes the lack of rain, the fact that the Jewish people deserve va'avatam. Next, Omer of Chista, va'avatam nehera. Specifically, rain is stopped only because people are failing to give truma and meiser. Shenema, the same pasuk, tia gam choyim yigzulu mei meishavet. The Gemara says, my mashma, where do you see anything from that pasuk about tia gam choyim that it's referring to truma and meiser? The answer is Tana Dveda Bishmal. We learn in a brisa of the yeshiva, from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmal, it means the word, relating the word tia to the word tziva, which means to command. You often find in Shoshim that a yud and a vav can easily interchange. For example, you have the word yeled and vlad. So it means b'shvil dvarim shetivisi eschem imoysachama v'loyasisem, because there are mitzvahs that I commanded you to do during the summertime, and you failed to do them. Yigzul mekem meimeshalik v'moysachshamim. The result of that is going to be that the snow waters, meaning the rain and the snow, are going to be stolen away from you during the wintertime. So how does that refer to Truma and Meiser? So Marshall explains, you have various kinds of Matnas Aniyim, which are given during the harvest, and the harvest takes place during the summer, and then you have Truma and Meiser, where you have those not just during the summer, but all year round, because whenever you bring in your produce from the fields, or whenever you're going to be eating it, you take Truma and Meiser from it then. So Truma and Meiser is a year-round thing, and since the expression, the pasuk is Gam Choyim, so it means things that apply not only during the Choyim, not only during the heat of the summer, but also during the rest of the year, therefore it refers to Trumas and Meisers. Another one, Amr Reb Shimon Pazi, Einag Shamim Netzar and Elabishvam Masakri Lashon Hara. Rain is stopped only because of people who are saying Lashon Hara. Now, by the way, I mean, you could talk about all these Chachamim necessarily disagreeing with each other. Is each one saying that this is the only reason that rain would stop? Is each of them maybe not necessarily disagreeing with the other, but adding, like each one is saying this Aveda alone is reason enough that there should be no rain? Anyway. So because of Masapri, Lashon Hara, because people who speak Lashon Hara. Shenema, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ruach Tzofen Techolo Goshem, a north wind. Now the simple meaning of the Pasuk is Techolo means causes. So the simple meaning is the north wind causes and brings rain. Ufonim Nizamim Lashon Saser, and an angry face is caused by secret words. So the simple meaning of the Pasuk means, in other words, the same way as when you have a north wind, you know that soon there's going to be rain coming. The same way, when you see that people have angry faces, you know it's because there's Lashon Saser or Lashon Shaker. Yeah, people are talking Lashon Hara one against the other. But the Gemara is darshaning. What does that have to do with rain stopping? We're going to understand the word techolo differently. The word techolo doesn't mean to cause, just the opposite. It means to be mevatel, like lo yachel dvaray. So therefore, Ruach Tzofen Techolo Goshem will mean now that the north wind prevents the rain. Why? Because Rashi brings from Gemara and Yavamas that the north wind scatters the clouds. So therefore, so Ruach Tzofen Techolo Goshem. And why is that? And you see that there's Ponim Nizomim. You see that Hashem is showing an angry face to the world and not bringing rain. Why is that? Because of Lashon Sasa, because people who are speaking Lashon Hara against each other in secret. Or Marsha says also the Ponim Nizomim can refer to the faces of the people. When there's no rain, they all have a bad mood, and they all have a bad expression on their faces because they're worried about what's going to be because of the drought. So the point is, it comes because of Lashon Saser, because of these secret words of Lashon Hara. Next, Omer of Salah, Omer of Amnuna, Enak Shamim Netzarn, Ela B'Shvil Azei Ponim. The rain stops only because of Azei Ponim, because of Chutz B'Dikah people. Shenema, Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Vayimonu Revivim, And the Navi is telling the Jewish people, the rain, the revivim, in the showers of rain have stopped. Or Malkush loy haya, there was no Malkush, which we said yesterday is the rain at the end of the season. And you had the forehead of an isha zona, where the forehead is always a metaphor in Torah for chutzpah and azus ponim, meaning it was like you're pretending like you're doing nothing wrong. So we see, in other words, that azus ponim called that there azus ponim called that there's no revivim and malchush. And the omer of sala omer of amnona in this connection call adam sheyeshle azus ponim soif nichshav avera. When a person has azus ponim, in the end, he's going to end up stumbling in Avera, where Avera, unspecified in Gemara, generally speaking, means znus. And that's what it means over here. He's going to end up, because of his azus ponim, he's going to end up falling into a, he's going to end up getting caught up in znus. Shenemo, meitzach isha zayna hayolach. The pasuk says that you had the forehead of an isha zayna. So we see, in other words, because he has the forehead of an Azponim, therefore that leads to him being involved with an Isha Zona. Rav Nachman says it's not even he's going to be involved in Avera. You can be sure that this Azponim has already been involved in the Avera of Znus. Shenemar Hoyoloch, because the Pasuk says it was for you. Yiloch. It doesn't say it will be. Which implies that in the future you'll have the Isha Zona. It says Hoyaloch, you had, implying it's already an inevitable thing. The person who had Azus Panim inevitably has already been Nichshol Nus. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Omer Rava Barabuna, Kol Adam Sheyeshle Azus Panim Mutu L'Kroise Rosha. A person who has Azus Panim, you're allowed to call him a Rosha, even to his face. Now, usually calling somebody a Rosha would make a person Chayav Malkus. But for this thing, you're allowed to, and Tosfos mentions that Yerid Imi L'Chayev, and the person that you call the Rosha is now allowed to take it out on you in certain ways, but nevertheless, over here, when the person is an Azponim, then you're allowed to. Shenema, he is ish Rosha b'fonim, as the Pasuk says, the Rosha is brazen-faced into his face. So in other words, because he's brazen, because he's chutzpedik, therefore to his face, you're allowed to call him Rosha. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says not only that, you're allowed to hate him. Shenema, you have a pasuk in Kehelas. The ois ponav yeshune, the strength of his face is changed. In context, the pasuk is talking a complementary thing about a tamen chacham, that because he's a chacham, therefore that changes and makes the radiance and the appearance of his face stronger. But here the Gemara is darshining the ois ponim meloshen and az ponim of a chutzpedik person, and yeshune, al tikri yeshune, don't read as changed, but ela yisone, but rather he can be hated, meaning that we read with a sin instead of a shin, and therefore it means you're allowed to hate such a person. Now, of course, you know, you still have to have Avos Yisrael to the guy. We know what it says in Perek Lamed Beis of Tanya, that you hate him, that you hate the fact that he's involved in Averis, but you love him because he's for a fellow yid. The Chlala and the Chofetz Chaim points out in Hilchos Lashon Hara that, you know, to say over here that to decide that the guy is an Azponim and say that all these things apply is really not so simple to know whether he truly is an Azponim or not. And in fact, you see that these dinim are not even brought by the poskim, because it can be very difficult to determine whether the person is taka and Azponim, or whether you're seeing him that way and really you should be down in Lakasos. Okay, getting back to rain, Amar Rav Chisina, Einag Shamim Netzor and Elabashvil Bittel Torah. Rain ceases only because people are not learning Torah. Shenema Ba'atzal Tayim Yimach HaMakora. As the Pasuk says, because of laziness, the Makora falls down. The simple meaning of the Pasuk is the person is lazy and he doesn't fix a little leak in his roof, and eventually it causes the roof to collapse. But it means we're darshaning because of the laziness that the Jewish people have, that they don't want to learn Torah. Atzal Tayim stands for Atzla, which means laziness, and Yam, which means the sea, like the sea of Torah. So because of that, the enemy of Hashem, again meaning a euphemism for Hashem himself, becomes poor, like so to speak, Hashem acts like he's poor and has no strength to bring rain. So where do we see this? How do we see this from the pasuk? The ein moch ela oni. So the word yimach, in other words, is related to the word moch, which means poor. The ein moch ela oni. The word moch means a poor person. Shenema v'imachu me'erkecha. As you have the pasuk that says, for example, if a person is too poor to pay the erech that he pledged to the Bais Mikdash. The in Makara, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Makara in the Pasuk, the one who makes the roof, refers to Hashem, Shenemah HaMakara, Bamayim Al Yosef, as you have the Pasuk that describes that Hashem making a roof, making his upper chambers as a roof, meaning when Hashem created the heaven and then set up the Mayim Al Yonim and Mayim Tachtonim. So now, in other words, we understand the pasuk Batzal Tayim, because of the laziness, Yimach HaMakara, the Makara, meaning Hashem himself, so to speak, Yimach acts like he's weak and then poor and is unable to bring rain. Rabbi Yosef Omer Mehocha. Rabbi Yosef says you can learn this concept that Bittul Torah leads to a lack of rain from a different pasuk. The pasuk in Iyov, V'after Lo Ro'u Ur, now they didn't see light. Which means because they didn't see the light of Torah, Bohir Hu Bashchokim, it's clear in the heavens, and then the sky is clear without clouds, V'ruach Ovra Batataharim, and a wind passes by and cleans up the sky of clouds. So the Darshan the Pasuk, the Ein Ur El Torah, the word Ur means Torah, Shenem Kinem Mitzvah Torah Ur. Bohir Hu Bashchokim, what does that mean? Tonet Ve Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Afilu B'shah Shurakiyah Nasa Bahurin Bahurin, Bahurin Talamotar, what happens is, as a result of that even when the sky is patchy with clouds, Bahurin, Meloshon Baheres, patches of tsaras, so even when the heavens are patchy with clouds, and they have clouds in them, and it looks like it's going to rain soon, the result, because there was ba'ata le-ro-or, because they're not seeing the light of Torah, therefore the result is ruach avra batatarim, a wind passes and cleans up the clouds, and therefore no clouds, and therefore no talamata. Another one, Amar of Ami, Enag Shamim Netzern, Elabav and Gezel. Rain is held back only because of the avera of stealing. Shenema, another pasuk in Iyov there, al kapayim kisa'ur, because the simple meaning of the pasuk is kapayim means the heavens, so it means al kapayim kisa'ur, the light covers the heavens, but we're darshaning ba'avon kapayim, because of the aveda that people do with their hands, namely stealing, kisa'ur, then the ur gets covered. So what does this mean? Ve'en kapayim al chomos, the word kapayim means stealing, shenema min chomos asher b'kapayim. The ain ur elamotter, the word ur in this context means rain. Shenema yofitz anan ur, another pasuk in Iyov over there that describes that he scatters the clouds of his ur. So ur there means the clouds that would bring rain. Mai takante, so now if they've done that, if they've stolen, and now they want to do tshuva, mai takante, what should they do to fix up the situation and get rain? Yarve b'tfila, then they should daven a lot. That same pasuk that started off al kapayim kisa'ur, the same pasuk continues vayitzav aleihav b'mafkia, and he commanded it because of mafkia. The ain pegia, the word mafkia, which is the shirt, the word pegia, which is the shirt, so the word mafkia, the ain pegia elatfila, the word elatfila, the word pegia refers to davening. Shenema ba'al ta'al tispalam ba'al mazev ba'al de'al mazev gemar ba'al tifkabi, as Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, don't daven on behalf of this people and don't tifka in me, don't plead with me, because unless they do tshuva, there's going to be a churban and a golus. So we see the word pegia means davening, as you have also by that's how we know that Yaakov davened by Har HaMoriah. An interesting point that Mephoshim make is, by all the other ones that we had on this entire Omud, all the various reasons that it said why the rain stops, it never said what to do about it. Why all of a sudden over here is it mentioning it? We had before, for example, because Bittul Trumas and Maestris, because of Aze Ponim, etc. So why by none of those did it say what to do about it? And all of a sudden here it does. And the answer is because by the other ones, it's fairly obvious. You're not giving Trumas and Maestris. Fine. Make up for it now by giving Trumas and Maestris. You're being Aze Ponim. Stop being such Aze Ponim, etc. On the other hand, here, when it comes to Gezel, not always is it possible. First of all, Gezel is an Aveira ben Adam l'chaveiro, so you need the other person to be moichel you as well. So what if he doesn't want to be moichel? What if even you have, it's possible that a person stole from many people and he has no idea even who he stole from? So therefore, so you need to daven that the Eibush should put it in those people's hearts to forgive you, and that way the rain can fall. As opposed to by all the other things, they're only bein adam l'makim. So therefore, fine, you fix it up, you do tshuva, you do what you're supposed to do, and there's no question the Eibush will be merciful. All right, Shukriya, everyone. Good Shabbos.